Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's days like this that I am particularly excited to get some insight from Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're good. We were just discussing the Dan Orlovsky tweet, which was, in my opinion, this is my opinion. I want to make sure that I'm not attaching anyone else to it. I love that the chuckle. I feel like he is fighting a straw man. This word regressed has been thrown out there, and it's very like salacious, and people are like, regressed, Jordan Love regressed. But I don't think that we have been arguing that. I think we've been saying Jordan Love did not get better. Jordan Love was not a better version of himself last season than the version we saw of him at the end of the previous season. I think that has been the crux of it. And as the quarterback, he is responsible for, at least on some level, helping the team evolve as a whole. And so I get it. I said at the beginning of the show, we're in a bit of a word off here. We're in a bit of a term off, but I feel very strongly about the nuance here.
Yeah, I just think he was being kind of a jerk about how he handled this topic. You can straw man, semantics. I don't appreciate, I mean, you can have your opinion. I don't really appreciate you telling anyone who doesn't have the same opinion that we're stupid by comparison. Couple things. First of all, I saw this and I was going to text you guys because I knew I'd be on today. Can one of you start, since I still have fear of having the wrong number for Chewy in my phone, could one of you start a group? Wilde plus JGC with the four of us on there, so, or five of us, include Josh.
I'm on it.
So okay, Josh, you got it?
With you guys?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
7370089. That's not it. That was my old Primeco number. Remember Primeco, Jason?
No, what is Primeco?
Primeco was a phone carrier.
Yeah.
Jason, did you know this, though?
You don't
that
have...
everyone's number was attached, yeah, had a 00. George Koontz was 0053.
Because he wore 53.
Robert Brooks, 0087. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not here to tell the Packers how to do things back in 1996 or whatever it is, but it sure as hell made it easy to send you guys, to call you guys. I don't even know if we had text messaging. I think you had to put... Like, you had to push the number one, like, four times to get to the capital A and stuff. But, yes, that was great. It was great for those of us trying to contact you. Unfortunately, yes. The only one that did not hold was 737-0004. So I was not able to text.
Yes.
And then again, maybe I didn't want him texting me back either. Back to
chuckle, chuckle.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the courtesy laugh there. So, look, Jordan Love, was anybody playing quarterback in the entire NFL better than Jordan Love during the final eight regular season games and that playoff game against Dallas when he was exquisite? Was anybody playing quarterback better than him down the stretch in 2023? No, right? Not even Patrick Mahomes, who went on to win the Super Bowl. He wasn't playing very well at all, frankly, down the stretch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we get to this yesterday, and, you know, I did feel a little bit seen because I had people in the YouTube comments of our show texting or messaging in what Orlovsky had tweeted, and somebody sent me the tweet. And I was like, God, he and I don't really like each other. I can't believe he's listening to our show, which I don't think he was. But... You're 1,000% right, Jennifer. Like, however you want to describe it, this is what bothers me about this. And I understand it's the silly season where, you know, I try to get through this period of the off season by telling stories that I might not tell otherwise, like the Marshawn Lloyd story about where he's at. And of course, I write this glowing thing about how excited they are. And then I show up to the OTA last week and he's in the rehab group, not even practicing. But like today I wrote about Edgerrin Cooper and how he has added weight, but the coaches still think he's just as explosive as he was last year. And they're really excited about him, right? Because those are the kinds of off-season stories that I believe in. I don't want to play these semantics games. I don't want to debate whether Jordan Love regressed or didn't advance or however you want to view it. He wasn't good enough last year. And you know who would tell you that? Jordan Love would tell you that. And you can blame the injuries. You can blame the drops. You can say he didn't regress. You can say whatever you want. But the bottom line is they lost their last three games. And over the final four games of last season, as compared to the final nine games of the previous season, he wasn't as good. So whatever prism you want to look at that through, and if you want to tell me that I don't know anything about football and you're the supreme leader of football knowledge, great, that's fine. I have never said that Jordan Love sucks, that he's never going to be a good quarterback. None of those things, those are completely unrelated here. I have consistently, you guys have heard me say this again and again, it is such a pivotal year for him. This is why I took the angle about, you know, Rodgers in year three, because Jordan Love's numbers in his first 2 years as the starter are not dissimilar from Aaron Rodgers' numbers in his first 2 years as the starter. Now, where he goes from here is what matters. So Dan Orlovsky can tell me and many others that we're all just idiots. He can fight over word choices. But whatever the bottom line is for the past 2 years does not matter. Past is prologue here. We will see what he does this season when the general manager has come out and said it's time for them to start competing for championships. Well, you know who has to play very well for you to compete for a championship? Not at a Hall of Fame level, not even at an all-pro level, but has to play very well? Your quarterback. And it's time for him, and he knows this, to take a jump in his performance. And that's all we're trying to talk about here. So I always talk to the girls about, we don't push other people down to push ourselves up. So spare me your pithy little tweets, and instead, break down why he didn't regress in your mind. And if you don't have time to do that, then just don't go on Twitter, which is what my approach has been for the past like 5 years now. So here endeth the rant.
Well said, Jason. Jason, who who is Zach Tom competing against?
Himself, first and foremost, right? Like, if we're being honest, I still, and this is, you know, this is what I find fascinating. So Jordan Love gets a break in some people's minds because of his injuries. And Zach Tom doesn't? I feel like you mentioned this to me last week when I was on.
Yeah.
Like, here's a guy who plays with a torn pec, never regains the strength he would have normally had he been able to lift all offseason the way he normally would. And we're talking about him competing for his job. Now, we're going to get six players today. Again, I don't really understand why, just because they've moved to the soccer locker room at Lambeau Field while their locker room is being renovated, why we can't go in there and work the locker room the way we normally did. Good Lord, I had enough trouble trying to get to the tight end in the corner that I still don't understand why your locker was that way. But, like, there's no reason. But I appreciate them bringing players. I'm hoping Zach Tom is one of them because I would really love to know his mentality, right? Because you can't sit and pout. You can't say, oh, they hurt my feelings because they said I'm competing for my job. Like, you know, I'm my harshest critic. I'm sure he's going to say, I need to play better. I don't care who I'm competing with. I need to be the best version of me, all those things. But they're all true. And I still think, you know, Jen mentioned Strawman. I think he's, in my opinion, battling potentially the invisible man, that they brought up this competition, but there's no clear-cut person that he's competing with. Anthony Belton, their second-round pick, he worked at left tackle with the number two group when they were two-spotting 11-on-11 periods. He worked some guard. I didn't see him at right tackle. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. It's hard to watch two sessions at the same time. But the bottom line is that if Zach Tom's not their starting right tackle, you know, I'm not going to walk to Sheboygan or eat my hat, but I don't think it's very likely. I just don't understand why they put it out there the way they did and what the upside was.
And that's interesting to me, Jason, because yesterday we were talking about the Trey Hendrickson situation in Cincinnati, where they just went, hey, you know, play well next year and we'll take care of it. And then he goes out and leads the league. That mm-hmm. number for pass rushers explodes with guys like Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, you know, resetting the market. And then the Bengals going, oh, man, we had no idea that was coming. And the lesson to be learned there is pay your guys early, not late. If Zach Tom in the end is actually going to be their starter, wouldn't it make more sense to try to sign to him to extension now and tamper down what that number could be instead of letting him get to free agency? And then if he's ready to walk, either if you don't want him to, you have to pay him market value or you have to slap the franchise tag on him, which nobody wants.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like Mike Holmgren talking to Dave Benz back in 1996. Where he said, Dave, you just asked me three questions and answered two of them yourself. What would you like me to say? But I agree with everything you said. Like, I'm sorry for leading the witness. Well, Jesse's the one who's going to have to deal with FSC on jury duty today. But yes, I understand. And here's another example of how the quarterback is different, right? Because we're looking at the money that they pay Jordan Love, and no, I don't think, unless I'm missing the discourse on this, no one's saying, oh my God, they paid this guy $55 million a year. He's got to play better, right? No one, I haven't heard many people, maybe you guys have when I'm not listening, but I haven't heard many people bring the contract number into it because I think we're all looking at it with what Brock Purdy got, with what Trevor Lawrence got, Tua, et cetera. That this is just now the cost of doing business on having a young quarterback who you think could turn out to be really, really good and is sort of good and still has more to prove before you would really feel like, okay, this was money well spent, right? So I just feel like with the influx of money into this league, with the increased TV deals and the gambling money and everything else, the rising tide has lifted all the high-profile boats in terms of cost. But I would also argue potentially that this is just Cincinnati being Cincinnati, right? I mean, this is their reputation. Like, yeah, we'll take care of you, and oh my gosh, that's too much now. We don't want to pay you that. That feels very Bengals-y to me, and I'm not sure that other teams would not have handled it a very different way.
Jason, before we let you go, NFL.com has put out a list of the NFL's top 10 most complete teams for the 2025 season. This is another metric. This is an algorithm that weights each of the positions differently. We're going to talk about it as a show, but I'm curious what your first thought is when I tell you that the Green Bay Packers are ranked on this list 8th most complete team for 2025. And just for perspective, they are behind the Vikings, which are ranked 6th with J.J. McCarthy, a virtual unknown at the most important position.
And where are the Lions?
Ooh, I think they're up at 2. I scrolled past them. They're at 3.
Okay. Because
who, look, just lost their center.
Yeah, to retirement. Yeah, you're right. I look, a couple things. One, I think they're going to be a good team. I also think they got a hell of a difficult schedule. And they're going to make the playoffs and not win the division, and they're going to be around 10-7. Now, sometimes I'm right about my predictions, and then sometimes, like in 2023, when I picked them to win 6 games and they won 9 and then went and won a playoff, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Dan Orlovsky can say that about me, too, if he wants. But the bottom line is that I think they're going to be a good football team, but it's going to be one of those years, and I'm not saying it's wake me in January, because I love the journey, but we're really going to find out based on what the heck they do in the postseason. Now, I know there's been some folks that have predicted they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't agree, but it'll be interesting to see, because I do think if you look up and down their roster, if, and this is obviously an enormous if that I wasn't saying about the 1996 team going into the season, largely because I wasn't covering the team yet. I was covering Badger volleyball and Wisconsin soccer and preps, but if those third and fourth year guys play at the level that we have seen flashes or shortly extended periods of them playing at, if their quarterback plays not like he did during the second half of 2023, but closer to that than what he played at last year, I think they have a very complete team. I think they've got a bunch of talent on defense, and if DeMarcus Covington can figure out a way to make Rashawn Gary and LVN and Devontae Wyatt and Kenny Clark get after the quarterback more effectively, then I think they're going to be even better than they were last year. So I think they have a really good team on their hands that is going to lose some games against some really good teams, but they're going to make the playoffs, and then it'll be a crapshoot on where they go from there. Now, I would also add that there have been teams during my career that I looked at and said, these guys are really damn good, and then they just got devastated by injuries. I think back to 02, when Tausch tore his ACL, Clifton got that cheap shot from Warren Sapp. They lost Robert Ferguson and Darren Sharper late in the year. They were going to New York to play the Jets with Wynn, and they're the number one seed. And they got blown out at the Meadowlands because they were barely, like, they limped into and out of the Meadowlands. And then they lost at home to Michael Vick, if you remember. First time the Packers had lost a home playoff game at Lambeau Field. That team, after what they had done in 2001, had a chance to be really, really good, and they just got devastated by injuries. If that doesn't happen to this team, I feel really, really good about what I'm saying about.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Joshy, I'm working on the picture and the group name for my text. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you all.
You got it.
Take care. Be good.
Did you call him Dan?
Dude.
Oh, I thought you called Dan. I was like, no, of all the nicknames to throw his way. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after this very program on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will break down that list, the NFL.com top 10 most complete teams for 2025. Packers are ranked eighth. What do you think? We'll talk about that right after this.
You don't need a private party or fancy credentials to play golf inside of American Family Field because X-Golf is open to the public every Brewers home game. That's right. Whether you're a walk-up or you plan ahead, you can tee it off in a high-tech golf simulator with a perfect view of the field. That's really cool. I mean, if you haven't been up there, the way they've got that tiered so you've got great views, and they have a special menu up there, fantastic bar that you can walk up to. Each seat is table service. The vibes are immaculate. Food, drinks, big swings, all without missing a pitch. So book your next game day around X-Golf inside of American Family Field, open to the public 7 days a week.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.